glory, his divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the love of our lives, the wind beneath our wings, and the beat of our hearts, the one who is also Bharat Bhagya Vidata, or the destiny shaper of Bharat or India. Sai Ram and good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Thursday Live. You're tuned to our Asia stream and we are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today is the 25th of January 2018 and tomorrow happens to be the 68th Republic Day of India. Meanwhile, in the ashram, the current temperature right now is 21 degrees Celsius and the time is 40 minutes past 9 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Currently, we are experiencing daytime highs of about 31 degrees. It gets pretty warm in the afternoon with bright sunshine, but overnight lows are still close to 18 to 20 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, around this time, dear listeners, the grand and glorious Republic Day celebrations will take place in the nation's capital, New Delhi, where the weather conditions, I understand, are very cool. The same celebrations on, of course, smaller scale will be replicated across all schools in this nation, especially in all the Sai schools and colleges located in the valley of Prashanthi Nilayam. On behalf of Team Radio Sai, I would like to extend very warm Republic Day greetings in advance to all our listeners from the grand and glorious country of Bharat. By the way, I'm your host Karuna and I'm honored to be hosting this show Morning Glory. Well, it so happens that the universal teacher to humanity, Bhagwan Baba, stressed on responsible citizenship as part of the human value of right conduct. Patriotism and civic consciousness, therefore, form the cornerstone of his Education in Human Values program. Hence, all Sai education institutions across Bharat will have a grand celebration with impressive flag hoisting and Republic Day ceremonies in their respective campuses tomorrow morning. With that, I'm happy to inform you that today I have lined up an inspiring and brand new Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview for you. It has been conducted by my colleague, Brother Bishu Prushti, and under the spotlight is our guest, Mr. Satish Putta. I'm very confident that you're going to enjoy this conversation, and at Team Radio Sai, we always look forward to your feedback to all our programs. This interview will be followed by a few of our favorite music pieces, which I will try to play without interruption so that you can really enjoy a blissful high. With that, I'm going to bid you Sai Ram right now, and I wish you an awesome Sai Sam day ahead. And may our grand nation of Bharat awaken to its true strength and live out its glory, often forgotten and overlooked. Jai Hind, Bharat Mata Ki Jai, and Jai Sai Ram. Please enjoy the show.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. Today is July 20th, 2017, and there is a big group of devotees from the Middle East who are in Prashantinilam for their Parthi pilgrimage. So there are devotees from Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Kuwait, Sharjah, Qatar, Bahrain. It is more than 400 plus actually, and they offered a very beautiful program to Bhagwan. Their love in the form of beautiful melodies yesterday, July 19, 2017, and the day before, we had the children making their sweet offering. So Prashanti continues to pulsate with devotees experiencing the pure love for the Lord, expressing their pure love for the Lord, and in return experiencing the pure love of Bhagwan. And one of the members of this group is Mr. Satish Kumar Putta, who took over as the president of the Sathya Sai organization in Kuwait early this year, 2017. He was earlier the vice president of Sathya Sai organization for 2 years. And most hearteningly, he is a former student of Bhagwan's educational institution. In fact, an exceptional Sai student that way, because he has done his entire education right from KG to PG, as Bhagwan used to mention in his discourses, right from his kindergarten to his high school, bachelor's and master's. Every level of his education has been at his lotus feet. So he joined the erstwhile Sai school in Ooty for his first standard or first grade in 1978, and with time in early 80s, Bhagwan actually moved all the children from Ooty to Prashantinilam when the primary school started here. And Brother Satish continued to study in Baba's school. Now he was close to Bhagwan physically. He completed his high school in 1990 and then moved to the university to pursue his bachelor's in commerce. Once he graduated, Bhagwan now gave him the opportunity to do his master's in commerce, and for this he had to go to the Vrindavan campus in Bangalore. After this, he went on to do his second master's, now in business administration. So for this he returned to the Prashantinilam campus, and after 19 blissful years of basking in his physical proximity and getting prepared to deal with the challenges of life outside, with Bhagwan's grace, he stepped out of Prashantinilam to start his professional career, carrying always in his heart the image of his master, his benefactor, his beloved. So he worked in several companies in India, Dell, Accenture, TTK, NRI Services, to name a few, and eventually moved to Kuwait, where he's been working for nearly 10 years. He now works as a commercial project manager for Siemens in the state of Kuwait. Kuwait, as many would know, has 70% expatriate population and is a very, it's a high income economy. In fact, the Kuwaiti dinar is the highest valued currency in the world. But so many of these devotees come from this little rich country just so that they can enrich their lives with the currency which is higher than they can get in Kuwait. They come here for the currency of love, for the currency of peace. Prashanti pulls everyone to fill them with peace and bliss for free. So I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that he has sent to the studios someone who had the privilege to be a Sai student for nearly 2 decades. Very few have had this blessing. And now he is here with us to share how Swami shaped him over these 19 years, how his understanding of Swami deepened over time, how new dimensions of life opened up as he continued to grow, gazing at him, observing him, learning from him, and grasping slowly the lessons of life which came to him sometime very subtly, sometime very powerfully, sometime overtly, sometime covertly, but every time it was a strong lesson which shaped him. In fact, that learning never stops. Even now he continues, the Lord continues to work on him as he continues to do on each one of us, and we learn from each other. And in that spirit of sharing and caring, Brother Satish is here with us to share with us beautiful milestones of his journey to Bhagwan, instances which he today, when he reflects, fill him with great inspiration, they fill him with courage, they give him new direction, and at the same time they fill him with new energy to walk on the path laid down by him. So with gratitude to Bhagwan for enabling this episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, we begin this conversation. So warm welcome to you, Brother Satish, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sairam Bishu, thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
So let us start from the Ooty days, because not many students have had the chance to be Baba's Ooty school student. So take us back to those days in the 70s. How it was when you joined the Ooty school? Were you excited to join, or how did it happen that you joined Baba's school in your first standard, first grade?
My parents were devotees. My grandfather was a devotee. My mother became a devotee after marriage. And my mother tells me that I was named by Swami in 1972. 4 or 5 months after I was born. And they were coming here regularly. In 1977, during the Dashara time, Swami announced that he is going to open a school in Ooty in the lines of the Guru Sishya Parampara, like the Gurukul days.
Yes.
And whoever is interested could apply, and this will be for the first standard, first grade.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents applied for it. And I was told much later that 300 applications came.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami took the list and ticked sort of randomly in middle, in our words, randomly.
Yes.
And after that, he told the person to count how many ticks are there. And the person said, Swami, 42.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, for the first batch, this is enough. And my name figured in that list.
Wow. So Swami has literally picked you.
Ticked you
to be his student.
And there was no formal communication from my parents to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have access to speak to Swami like that, nor did we know anybody in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And
It
was just heartfelt prayers.
Prayers.
And my mother tells me later that she had only one condition.
Mm-hmm.
And that condition was, Swami, I don't have any reservations. It's just that if you are going to take my child for this first standard, you are going to take care of his entire education.
Entire education?
His entire education.
Oh.
If you intend to send him back later and I have to take care of his education later, I am not interested in sending him now.
It
was a strange request, but it was a strange prayer.
Huh.
And the deal was, if he is going to get admission, you want to take care.
Wow. So if you're taking him now,
yes, that's it. You have already
take care of him completely.
Completely. And you have, that means you agree to take care of him completely also.
Wow. And it has panned out that way.
It has panned out that way.
Oh my God.
And the look at the innocence in that. No school was opened by Swami as yet. Swami just had the college in Vrindavan. So there was no other doubts or questions as to, will you open schools?
Yeah, I mean, there was. I mean, she had no clue whether there is an university here. I mean, there was no university at that time.
Yeah, there was a college she knew about.
College.
And there was no other school opened by Swami. So there was no such questions,
She didn't think, okay, what courses are here, what will you study, nothing.
No. And even when I grew up, there was nothing like this person should do engineering, medical, chartered accountant, PhD. There was no prayer or, you know, wavering in that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever Swami tells, whatever you inspire him to do, he will do.
Wow. You just completely look after his education. That's it. It doesn't matter what he studies. Wow.
So, and it panned out that way. You can, you know, Swami
fantastic.
Took care.
Fantastic. I mean, the,
just a prayer,
the extent of, the grand extent of the power of a mother.
Of a mother, yes, very much.
Wow.
And it was not that my mother was very happy initially, because she had to go through all kinds of comments from society. And, you know, people asking, are you able to sleep and eat food when your child is not there?
Mm.
And these kind of things.
How can you leave your child?
Because boarding school at that time meant only if your child is not behaving well, he goes to a boarding school.
Oh, okay.
Okay, in our society at least.
Mm-hmm.
Now the concept has changed.
Some might also view it as, you know, you just want to shirk your responsibilities.
Yeah. It was only my grandfather who stood by them, my parents, and said, you have done the right thing.
Wow.
So,
but your mother was very clear.
Very, very clear. Oh, very, very clear.
Wow.
very, very clear.
Fantastic. So how was it for you? I mean, and do you have any memories? Yeah. Did you adjust well? Were you homesick?
Right.
Because, you know, when you are so little, 5-6 years old, and...
It was, an, I would say, an so opposite of what you normally would think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that admission has come, parents are trying to prepare me for it. And they say, will you go to Swami school? Your education will be nice, you will blossom well and all that. And the way it was asked, and it was asked for the nth time, I said yes, because that's the time I saw joy in their faces.
Oh, okay.
So, and I think
so you said yes because you were happy to see the joy in their face.
Exactly, nothing else.
That's all.
That's it.
You had no clue of what
I had no clue what it is. No. I didn't know what Swami was or know who Swami is or anything like that. Though maybe I was being brought every year to Parthi for some kind of function and all that. And,
So
I never knew a concept of a boarding school. I never knew, okay, I'll be left there, they will come back.
Oh.
All of that, nothing.
Oh, the only thing that was there is they're expecting an S, so let me just tell the yes.
Just left, that's it.
Because if I tell S, then they're happy.
They're happy. Wow. And finally, when the sort of D-Day came, and it was in February 1978, we were in the school and there was a queue. And then I realized, okay, this is a place where my parents will leave me and go. Because I could see that, you know, parents are meeting with the principal and teachers along with the child. They are doing some basic checks of, you know, do their child has these items and all that. And then maybe they pay their fees or whatever. And then the parents come off and the child is taken in.
You
could saw that scene. And if the child cried, they were pulled away more, and if the child cried more, they were taken off into some other room.
Oh my!
So that they don't, you know, they can quickly forget. And a sort of survival mode kicked in. I'm really surprised when I look back. I said I will not cry when they leave me here, because it'll give me at least another half an hour with my parents.
Oh.
It was...
If you cried, then they would just take you.
Yeah, they would take me. So that was the scene in which...
But that's amazing. I mean, you realized that you're going to be away, which you never knew till now.
Yeah,
you never knew that you'll be losing your
parents. Yeah, but at least on that day, I knew it'll be there for, you know, they will come at least tomorrow and meet you. Mm. I had that kind of feeling at least.
But Tony, you were that way, so alert, so smart that way, at that point in time, that, you know, anyone will just start crying. The moment the realization happens that, you know, I'm going to not have my parents anymore, you will just break down. But you were...
I controlled my tears.
Yeah, you were so aware, even at that age, that let me not cry just so that I can spend another half an hour with my parents. Wow.
And once you are inside, you know, they said, yeah, they'll come tomorrow morning. So I was eagerly waiting. They said afternoon. They're in the town somewhere. And then they said evening. So, and evening went to tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, evening, like that for, I think, 3.5 days or something like that.
So slowly they were trying to make you, wean you away from
you. Yeah. And then they wanted to set the reality in, and they said, no, they will not come back. They will not come back for a few months. Till your vacation time. And at that time, I knew I could rake up the whole thing, but I knew again my parents will not be happy. They'll be sad at least. So let me just somehow manage.
Wow. I mean, this is so profound when I think, you know, even at that age, you are so concerned about your parents' happiness.
Yeah.
And that is really a gift.
It's a gift.
That Bhagwan blessed you with at that age itself.
But the other reason for mentioning this is, you know, because many parents would not like to hear all this, you know, is that, you know, the teachers were so loving that after a few weeks, everything was normal.
You didn't miss your parents.
Yeah, you didn't miss my parents. So that's the point also I want to make. And imagine, it's also difficult for my mother because I got so conditioned to speaking English that it seems when I went back, for the first 3 days, I did not speak in my mother tongue.
Okay.
And my mother didn't know English.
Okay.
She has picked up over the period of time, but my father was translating it.
Oh my God.
For 3 days it took for me to just quickly get my mother tongue back. And so.
But you were able to adjust, as you were saying, because of the love of the teachers there.
Yeah. It was something that, you know, later even my cousins used to tell me, why don't you rebel and come back? Mm-hmm. I said, but the teachers are looking after us very well and parents also aspire that I get a good education there. And they were not convinced by it, but I didn't bother to. Mm. I did not bother to convince them at that age, you know. You can't convince.
I think at that point in time also you felt that this is what your parents want you to do.
Yeah, that's all.
They are happy. And anyway, the school is also good. So.
Yeah. That came under maybe second standard, third standard. But in the first standard, in the first month also, when teacher asked who will come back next year, everybody raised their hand, but I did not raise my
hand. You still missed your parents.
Yeah, still. There was that, you know, back of my mind. I thought, okay, 1 year let me do, and next year I'll see. Next year it became one more year, let me see. But gradually it turned out. But just when I look back, you know, if you start comparing, sorry to philosophize, but you know, great epics like Ramayana and Bhagavad Gita also. You know, the first part is Vishada or sadness.
Yes, sadness.
Valmiki begins with the Shad Shloka in Ramayana. Yes. And the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is Vishada Yoga.
Yes.
So you're like, so in a grand, glorious day with Swami.
Yes, yeah.
The first part was...
I think nothing beautiful has been ever achieved in the world without some sacrifice.
Some sacrifice, yes.
So, and every sacrifice in the end always is... very sweet.
Yeah.
When you look back now, I think the sweetness that you experienced in life was because of the sacrifice that you made earlier.
Exactly. Yeah, it was. Mm.
So in some ways, I think Bhagavan wanted you to go through that because, you know, that your process of shaping up to be his instrument has to somehow begin. Yeah.
It was a beautiful place. You know, of course, you know, Ooty. It was a 16-acre campus. And we were being regularly taken into the hills every week. There were picnics and, you know, you could imagine.
I know, it's a hill station, so climate is very good. And, of course, I think, so they filled you with activities.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So you love to be there, love to, I think soon you make friendships. I mean, you have so many children. So with that, you perhaps will not have much time to think about anything else.
Yeah.
But I think that was also the time when Bhagavan went to Ooty, isn't it?
Yeah. So the first year Swami came to Ooty, and it was, that's the time, you know, you could sort of relate, okay, to Bhagavan at least. Now, because you are seeing his photo every day in the prayer hall, and first thing you realize, okay, he's a real person. Okay. And he's important.
So first time it came to you that he's actually, person who exists in photo is actually alive.
As he's alive, yes. And he's pretty important because everybody is looking up to him. They're speaking in hushed tones. And, you know, there are a lot many people, but it's more quieter.
Mm.
And our principal, who was very, you know, she could command respect, a little tough and... but she was so sheepish in front of Swami.
So this person is something.
Is something. And, you know, our teachers, if they said, don't be naughty and, you know, be disciplined or something, they used to previously have some kind of eye that they still keep an eye on you. But here in front of Bhagavan, they just said it and left it. Mm. They knew you will be good. So there are some... So these things, you know, what happened was after Bhagavan left, if something was spoken about Bhagavan to us, we listened with a lot more interest.
Huh. Because at that point you felt he's someone whom everyone respects.
Everyone respects, yes. Hmm. And the main thing was we all had an individual photo with him.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody saw me took in that time in the Polaroid camera. Not even the film camera also were not there those days.
Hmm.
And it was not that, you know... I remember that scenes very well, not because of, I do not know why I remember that photo session very well. It was not in front of all the people and things like that. It's just in a small playground with our teachers and two students or three students of Bhagavan, college students. And one by one we were ushered in and Swami took a photograph with us. Later when I just recall, you know, the presence that Swami exuded, you know, just with you was so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and when you tell your parents that, okay, this is what happened, you know. And when Swami said, inkok bodi undu vachadu, another bald person has come. And then I still remember Swami holding on my shoulder, keeping his hand on my shoulder, that the Polaroid film had got over and they were replacing it. And, and all this, you know, the first standard to remember all this was, you know, Swami's grace sheer.
Mm. So that was a very special moment, having
a very special moment, I know.
Photograph with Swami, and yeah. Swami like calling each little one and giving a photograph with
him. Yeah, and that stays with parents for years together, and you know, so they know my person studying with Swami and see this photograph with
Swami.
So for them it was also
I think for every parent.
Every parent,
I think when they look at that photograph, it is like every sacrifice is worth it.
Yeah, exactly. That was the...
Wow.
It was...
fantastic. Yeah. And actually grand assurance also for them, isn't it?
This is grand, really grand assurance. Yeah. Swami holding you on the shoulder like this.
Yes.
And
he's like a friend.
Yeah. And
wow.
Kind of saying, I'll take care. You can see I'm taking care.
So at that point in time, initially it was respect, right? You are saying you knew that, okay, first of all, for you the realization was that he's a real person.
Real person.
And second thing, everyone respects him, and he's definitely a very, very special and very important person. But how did you connect with him? How did you feel when he was around, or how did your heart feel when you know? He was in the school, he was talking to you and mingling with you all.
One thing strange was, you know, it was so loving that, you know, if Swami cracked a joke on somebody, if, you know, the person was so happy. I was wondering what happens, you know, what's happening? Because the same joke, if another classmate or some other teacher had told, that person would have been very upset.
But he's having cracks his joke, yes.
He's so happy, so there's something about, something going on. And, I think more the connection came more because of what the teachers were telling us slowly over a period
about
Swami. In our fourth standard, a small Ganesha temple was opened in the lower playground, and you know, at that time I was sitting on the extreme right, and everything was so pleasant at that time. I don't know, the bright sunlight, the nature, the Ganesha was looking so beautiful. You know, it was elephant god, right? For a small child, it was
always fascinating.
And the bhajans were nice, and I just closed my eyes. I do not know what happened. And after some time, when I opened, Swami was already there, and he was breaking coconuts. And nobody had reminded me Swami has come. And so I thought I missed whatever was happened. But when Swami went back, he came that way and tapped his hand on my head like that. And that was the first time I felt, okay, Swami responds to small prayers also. It was the first kind of assurance.
So you were thinking deeply about him at that point.
I was just lost in bhajan. Just lost in bhajan. You know, it was very sweet.
But you felt someone recognized this.
Someone knew this, yeah.
Someone was acknowledging this.
For 8 or 9 years old at that time.
Yeah. So maybe you started having that feeling that here is someone who knows things.
Yeah. Because already they were telling us, you know, he's omnipresent, he knows everything and all that, but he was behaving as if he's asking. He's not. And these kind of things at least helped you. Started off. That was for that age, that was sufficient.
Wow.
So he had come for at least 4 or 5 times in those 5 years.
Wow. Almost every year.
Almost every year, yes.
And he used to stay for how many days?
A week or 15 days.
And he used to stay in the school itself, right?
Yes, in the school.
He used to dine with you all and...
They had constructed another building for us for our dining and boarding. And of course, Swami used to come whenever, off and on. Because I think as small children, you know, we were not in those... darbars, or you know, the discussions
the
and
darshans,
all that.
Yeah.
It's just that after Swami spoke to us or had this thing, we used to go and play. And Swami used to go and give darshan.
Swami used to go and give darshan, you go and play. Swami had special time for you. I think whenever he was not giving darshan, he was with you all.
Yeah, but not with small children.
Yeah.
Means, he used to see us playing and he used to enjoy and on the ground, that way it was.
I think something was happening in the mind of every little student there. I think just like it was happening in your mind, and he was giving time. He was available for you all to explore him. Availability had happened.
Yes.
He had ensured that he is available to you and you are available to him. Wow.
You could say that.
So in which class did you move to Prashantinilayam?
Sixth grade. Sixth grade. So 83. So 78 to 83, the first 5 years I was in OT. And 6th and 7th was in primary school.
So you had to move to Prashantinilayam, the entire class, the entire school basically.
The entire school moved much later.
Okay.
But everybody was moving after 5th standard to 6th standard.
Mm-hmm.
And when Swami started the Parthi school here in 81, the primary school in 81, some children who had already joined OT, whose parents wanted to join in Parthi, they moved them.
Mm-hmm.
Others, they stayed back in OT. It was, you know, both are Swami schools.
Mm-hmm.
So some decided, it was just parents' choice purely.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they felt.
How was it for you when you moved to Prashantinilayam?
Now, when I moved to Prashantinilayam, you know, you were technically close to Swami, closer actually, but it was a much larger school, larger number of students, and it was more a time of, you know, you need to grow up. That's what I felt, and more time, more for discipline and less of play. That was my experience in primary school. When I hear the experience of all the other children, you know, they had fond memories just like we had fond memories in OT in their earlier years. But for my 6th standard and 7th standard, it was more of discipline. And I had enough time, I was sulking, you know. You were less pampered, more number of students here, less amount of play, your vacation time was cut short. In OT you had 2 months winter and 45 days summer.
Oh, wow.
And here you had summer 2 months and 10 or 15 days in winter.
Winter, yeah.
And so all these small things made you, you could meet parents only twice, once a week or twice a week. All of these restrictions were there. But primary school is something you look back with gratitude. You know, just like when you really grow up and you know what your parents have done for you. So just like when you grow up a little bit and you observe this, what the teachers have done for you. And you look back with gratitude for them. That's the value. Then you realize the value of primary school. How they shaped you, what, how you should answer Swami, what quest, what answer Swami expects. And when somebody asks something, how you should behave. All of these things, you know.
So all that grooming that happened.
Yes, yes. The grooming happened here.
Yes. So you look at, you remember all those teachers with a lot of gratitude.
They had, I think they really struggled a lot. Even, I think Swami also acknowledged that much, many times.
I think every time Bhagwan, there was a sports meet or any function, Swami always used to laud the
primary school
efforts of the primary school. Yes. And you have seen that.
Yes, you've experienced that. You've gone through that.
Yeah, wonderful. So it was now more discipline. Actually, in fact, in OT you had like Swami so much for yourself. In the sense, even though it was short visits of Swami, but it was a small group.
Small group, and the remaining time you enjoyed the place. In primary school, the darshan was same time in the morning around whatever you had at 7 o'clock or 7:15. But bhajan was at 11 o'clock, not at 9 o'clock as it is now.
In those days.
So you were sitting from 7:30 to 11:30.
It's a long time.
Long time for a child, for a little one, and just want to get back and play. And so you can imagine.
Yeah.
See, primary school wouldn't have happened, you know, you wouldn't have grown up. You would have said, "I'll be a child for a longer time." So that way.
Wow. I think at different stages in life. So when you had to play, he gave you the time to play. Now when discipline has to kick in, I think he ensured that came into your life. Wow. So. Perhaps it would have been even more sort of disciplined life when you went to the higher secondary school, right?
It felt more free.
It felt more free.
The reason is you suddenly were in 8th standard. You had pocket money. You could meet parents every day.
So now you're treated as a big boy, at least. Little better than the primary school.
No. You're treated as a small boy in a big school.
Okay.
So.
Yes.
In the smallest class, right?
Yeah,
in the
8th class.
In the 8th class,
yeah.
Small. So, and yes, you said something, people listen to you. And
So again, that way you're pampered more here. You're the smallest.
Yeah, smallest, yes. I felt pampered, a little more pampered.
Yeah.
And it was coming into a... you are getting into slowly an adolescent kind of age, and you are slightly left to yourself, but you are yes, you had your own restrictions. But invariably it felt more free.
Mm.
And
okay, I think just that feeling that, you know, whatever it is, primary school is sort of, everything is in that one building, and you're like in between, in four walls. You go to Mandir and you're back to your, because the hostel is in the same building, the school is in the same building. At least here you step out
and
you go out, you walk for 2 kilometers outside on the road.
For that age it mattered.
Yeah, for that age you will feel definitely free, because you're seeing the road every day, you're seeing the people every day. Yeah. And I think at that point in time there was only one hostel, right? Senior boys hostel.
It was one hostel. So not two hostels.
Yeah, not two hostels. So you used to stay actually with the hostel where you had a big range of students.
Up to PhD scholars.
Up to PhD. So, yeah. I mean, it was a big world.
It was a big world.
Opening up to a big world for a little one.
For a little one.
Yeah.
Various people to look up to.
Yes.
Yeah,
wonderful. So what was your, when you now think, what were your learnings from your school days? Higher secondary school is because I feel that is a very significant, that adolescent phase, the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, those are very, very significant years
for
any student. And given all your training in OT and then primary school, you shifted here. Now when you look back, what facets in your personality begin to develop at that point in time?
See, the first thing is that teachers wanted more clarity in what you said, you know. For example, you know, in a primary school, if Swami asks where you come from, you answer we came from you, and Swami was very happy.
Yeah.
And but here they wanted us to really either feel that,
yes,
what it means, and if you have to answer the same question, now you tell your place, but you know, you feel that you have actually come from Swami, and how many brothers you have, you know, all our brothers, because you have that kind of feeling. So it was getting shaped into that kind of scenario.
Understanding.
That understanding was getting shaped up.
Mm.
And it was basically the same for everybody, based on what teachers are teaching you, and, you know, essentially going through you had these human values classes, right? So,
yes,
you know, Balyukas was built in for us,
yes,
as part of the curriculum. And mainly, you're seeing Swami talking to many people, and you're getting to know what Swami is speaking. So those things in a small way influence you a lot. You also should interact with Bhagwan. You know, you look forward to those birthday chances. Mm-hmm. On your birthday, you take the tray with sweets and all the akshatas, the yellow rice, and the clove for Swami. Yes. You give a letter, you have a kerchief, and you know, Swami speaks or something to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance to ask for an interview if parents have come and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So you started connecting in that kind of form to Swami. And 10th standard children were, they had study holidays just before the board exam, and they were coming for morning darshans.
Yes.
And so we also got an interview.
Okay.
Yeah.
The interview during the study holidays.
During the study holidays.
So what memories do you have of the interview?
One thing was, Swami created the medallion of, the medallion that Akbar was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rectangular piece, large rectangular piece made of ruby, with some Arabic inscriptions. And Swami told us a story which was very fascinating. He said there was, you know, Akbar is an emperor, so there are many kings under him. And one of the kingdom was a kingdom called Pagal Kot.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, Pagal in Hindi means mad.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, in this kingdom, people were mad for God.
Mm-hmm.
And the king of this region, Pagal Kot, had gifted this medallion to Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
And told him that as long as you wear this,
mm-hmm,
you will be invincible.
Wow.
So in history we studied that Akbar was not defeated by any king.
Wow.
And this medallion was responsible for that.
Swami said that.
Swami said that.
Wow. Never heard about this.
You never,
fantastic. Yeah. So it comes from a region where people were madly in love with
God. Love with God. Yeah.
Wow.
So in history, this is lost for history. So
I know. Our history is what he tells us. His story is actually history. What so he reveals.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Hmm.
And then, of course, he blew it. And, of course, he passed it on to everybody. And after that, he blew it. It became another medallion, which he just kept on the table. It was not given to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is one thing very powerful I remember from.
Wow.
Hmm.
And so what else happened in the interview?
Generally, Swami is telling us, be good boys, you know, and be disciplined, devotion. This kind of, when you go out, think of Swami, don't get attracted to everything in the world.
Mm.
These small things about. Children wanted to know what to do next.
Mm.
Science, in science, whether bioscience, normal science, or commerce, or arts. Or
so what did you choose?
I chose commerce. I was very clear in that. I didn't even ask for me.
So you went on to do your high school 11th and 12th?
11th and 12th, yes.
Any memories from the high school days?
When we came to 12th, you know, there was a time when Swami was very upset with 12th standard students.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently some people had misbehaved, and so we were there sitting and asking for forgiveness, you know. And it was, I remember, in 31st of December 1989, finally Swami relented and said, be a good boy from now. And he said, from tomorrow the golden age begins.
Huh.
Yeah, he said that.
First, 1989.
In 1989, December 31st. So, which means 1st January 1990 onwards.
Wow.
The golden age begins, he said. He didn't elaborate anything. And, of course, we were just quiet. But this, I'm just sharing it in case somebody has some memories of if Swami has told them or something like that.
Fantastic.
We did not have an interview in 12th standard because Swami left early for Vrindavan that year.
So, 12th class, you're finishing so many years of school.
Yeah.
12 years of school.
12 years of school.
And now you're moving on to your bachelor's in commerce. So since you are already taken commerce, so this was the natural
progression? Yes, natural progression. We had an entrance in spite of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a natural progression.
Yeah. So you didn't have any doubts. You just wanted to continue in Swami's...
Yeah, in 12th I was clear. I was a bit disillusioned in... end of 10th and beginning of 11th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you had those thoughts, should I continue?
Yeah, I had the thoughts, should I continue? And, you know, I think everybody goes through that.
Yeah,
and
I know, as an adolescent.
As you go through that, and sometimes I feel you should go through that.
Yes.
Otherwise, sign up, maybe you should go and come out of it.
Yes.
That's kind of feeling.
So that you have more clarity in life.
More clarity in life.
So you started getting this thought, should I continue here?
Yeah, should I continue here? No, I can.
You felt you are missing something?
I'm missing the outside world.
Outside world,
and people are enjoying outside.
Yeah, all the kids think like that. Yeah,
all the kids think like that. So. And so, of course, when I went home, you know, parents had talked to me a lot more and how the life is outside and all that. You said your choice, but this is the way it is. It's not rosy as you see.
Mm.
And these are the struggles. These are the issues about discipline. These are the issues about values.
Mm.
You know. About somebody mentoring you, how you get so many things easily there, how you're cocooned, why it's beneficial. But they left the choice to me, and I think it was purely Swami's grace that I came out of it, not that I got some clarity and then I, it was just naturally I got attached to Swami and I decided to stay on.
Wow. So that disappeared, that disillusion?
By 12th it disappeared, yeah. Before 12th itself it disappeared.
Wow. So when you moved into bachelor's, you were very clear that
Actually, what happened was when I came into 1990, the summer course restarted.
Swami restarted
the summer course. And that had a great impact on all the people who joined, especially the new people.
Wow.
So it was like an orientation from Swami.
Yes.
So, though, of course, the new children won't have understood much of those discourses at least, but you know, the attention that Swami gave, because you're the new batch, right? So you're the new students.
Yes.
The new students of degree and the new students of PG will be, you know, given a special importance. And, some teachers were even mentioning that, the summer course has really had a great impact on the discipline of students. Because
these are like for 15 days, Swami spoke every day. And there
that time it was 20 days. Yeah.
20
first,
days.
First time 20 it was 20 days. Days. First time it was 20 days.
So before the academic year begins, for 20 days, you listen to Swami every day and listen to so many other talks. There are programs.
Yeah.
So all that had a great impact. So what shift did it bring in you?
I don't know, because the way Swami spoke about, you know, the concern he had, you know, whether he spoke of sense control, mind, intellect and all of that. That was the topic in that time. I kind of finally thought, okay, after staying so many years, you know, sometimes you feel you haven't understood Swami's teaching so much.
Mm.
But that gave you some kind of grip on that. And feel, okay, fine, now there is some happiness or that you have actually learned something.
Mm.
It was only that much. But then it was the attention from Swami and a lot of, you know, dinners and lunch with him and all that. And,
So you were, the summer sort of charged you up, summer course charged you up to join for the graduation.
Yeah, it charged me up. And I think in that summer course, first time, in the first batch, they even released the results. And I got 96.
So percentage?
Was, percentage. In the summer course exam.
In the summer course exam. That serious you were for grasping everything that was being told at summer course. Wow, I think that is phenomenal. You will listen to every discourse very attentively.
Writing
it down. I think that is a very, very interesting development, you know. Like, what happens also many times, you've been there for 12 years, you have heard so many of Swami's discourses. It also happens that, you know, some students after that, you sort of switch off. In a sense that you have heard it so many times, that it does not... You begin to take it lightly.
Yeah. So I think till then what used to happen was, we used to be very attentive when Swami spoke of less mundane things.
Yeah, correct.
And the moment it started Vedanta and Atma.
Yeah.
Anyway, I knew it's time to think for something about something.
Yeah, you switch off. Yeah.
You switch off, and it was always so that.
I know.
So, you know, suppose somebody was sick and he asked, "What did Swami speak today?" And that person said, "Atman and Paramatman." There was no further questions asked. So, but you know, that's the level Swami has brought you from.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Wow. But it's really so heartening at that stage. You started thinking seriously. I mean, you start paying greater attention. You felt that I've been here for so many years, but somehow I have to grasp Swami's message.
Slowly started.
You know, that whole quest for understanding Swami's philosophy started.
And those discourses were really meant only for, you know, the youth and all that. And there was so much of psychology in those. Recently, I think Radio Sai had a few years back a series on Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam.
We continue it even now. Yeah.
And this was on the 1990 discourses.
1990 discourses,
so it just brought back a lot of memories, you know, because I was in that batch.
Yeah, and discourses are very profound. There's a lot of depth in them.
A lot of depth.
So, you know, even as a first-year undergraduate student, you were so serious at that point in time. You scored 96, which means definitely you absorbed so much of what was being told. Fantastic. So, I think it was a great start
as
you moved into BCom.
Yeah. And also, one more thing was, you know, when I was in 12th, there was some discourse in the institute and school children also came, but we were sitting in the lower foyer, not in the main auditorium. Mm-hmm. And on that time, Swami spoke about the Sanskrit language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how great it is. It's not dead language, and how, you know, there's so much message in those Sanskrit verses. There's so much of depth in meaning and all that. And, you know, as 12th standard students, you know, you have to ponder over which is the second language you will take when you come to degree.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said Sanskrit is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And people used to take additional English or Hindi.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard this discourse, you know, just pray to Swami, "Swami, I will take Sanskrit, but you take care of my grades."
Oh, wow.
Okay. And the four semesters of where we had the second language Sanskrit, I got O grade in all the four. So wow. Swami really took care.
Swami really took care.
So the first time, you know, you felt that you could experiment with
Swami.
Swami.
Hmm. So your motivation for taking Sanskrit was Swami stressing the importance of that language.
Yeah.
And just like your mother made a deal with Swami, you know, when you were a child, if you take him, look after entire education. You made your old deal here, Swami. I will take Sanskrit. You are saying Sanskrit is important, but you look after my grades and...
Their grade was
overwhelming grace. Oh, great.
And a Sanskrit teacher also, I believe, mentioned to somebody else, you know, after a very long time, this batch of students is very, very, very enthusiastic. So there are three of us who got oh grade in all three, four semesters.
So you're, as you're saying, you're now experimenting and experiencing God's grace.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just started it, maybe.
Yeah, but I think that was very interesting. It happens very, very late in life for many. But and for you, I mean, you are in the physical presence and all this is happening. So, so any memories of the Vrindavan of the BCom days?
Yeah, so in third year, you know, third year was very, very... third year BCom was 1 year in which the entire hostel was geared up to please Swami.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that year the warden said this is the most glorious year till now. at the end of the year, he said that. And he says, you know, our life revolved around Swami. Mm-hmm. In that year, number of programs, Swami came into a hostel, number of times people set up exhibitions and sports meet, you called Swami.
92-93.
And during that year, we had presented a program on the stock scam that happened at that time.
The Harshad Mehta
stock scam.
Yes.
And we had done it for our the Thursday Human Values for session class. And our registrar at that time, Chakravarti sir, was so impressed. He went and mentioned to Swami that, you know, normally if a PG, if PG students had, postgraduate students had done this, you know, it would have been kind of expected, but undergraduate students doing this kind of program was phenomenal. Now, that evening, we all wanted to go for darshan, but it was our sports day. Mm-hmm. At that time, what happened was, 2 days out of 7 days, you have to compulsorily have your sports. That day you don't go for darshan. And we wanted to skip the sports day because Swami might be expecting us. But warden did not allow us because it's a matter of discipline. He should give permission and all that. And Swami was looking for us and said, they are not there today, sports. And Swami said, Prapti ledu.
Oh.
And
we have the chance.
We felt very bad, and next day we rushed, next day evening, and Swami spoke to us, and then after the evening bhajan, Chakravarti sir came and told us, invite Swami for coming to institute, and you present the same program, but don't call it stock scam, call it ethics and business.
Mm-hmm.
And we also redrafted various things, and various ones to see how values, it was already there, but we changed the stress and importance of it, and imagine. So it was a program where we are telling people in front of Swami what are stocks, what is how it is bought, sold,
yes.
bulls and bears, yes. and how the fraud took place.
Yes. Mm. I know.
All of that, and Swami is quite happy. Really,
so Swami saw through the entire.
Yes, saw through the entire. He came on a Sunday morning, and,
wow,
it was a nice chance. So that evening, the darshan Swami told me that I was very nervous when I spoke. I was one of the speakers presenting. So I said, Swami, this is the first time I'm speaking in public. It was the first time speaking in front of Swami also.
So he spoke to you and sort of, one thing is acknowledging that he has seen you, but I think at the same time he was giving you feedback.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
That you have to be more confident.
You have to be more confident.
Wow. I think there's something very interesting. You'll think that Swami watches only dramas and Tulsidas and Sakubai and Prahlada.
Yes, everybody was surprised. Everybody was surprised. But on a stock scam program, you invited Swami and you made Swami to go listen to all that.
That's interesting.
But Swami came.
Wow. It is a huge encouragement also to all the boys to pursue whatever you are pursuing and do it diligently.
Yeah.
All these other subjects are very important just so that you know everything.
Yes, yes.
And, but of course, spirituality is the basis.
And in third year, so the most important was Swami performed the marriage of my sister.
Okay.
In the interview room. The boy was from Mysore, and Swami used to stay in their house in the early 50s and 60s.
Wow.
That family. And so once it was fixed, I went to Vrindavan. It happened in Vrindavan. And just a day before the actual wedding, my mother asked Swami for my Upanayanam.
Your Upanayanam?
Thread ceremony.
Mm.
And Swami said, I'll do it tomorrow itself after the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the Upanayanam after the marriage. And Upanayanam was 5 minutes more longer than the marriage session.
Your Upanayanam was longer.
No, see, that's the importance of Swami gives to Gayatri Mantra and to stressing that you should chant this. This is it. This is importance, what it means and all that.
So it was a long explanation of the power of the Gayatri Mantra.
Yeah.
Wow. And your mother's wish also was fulfilled.
Yeah, and I told my mother, you know, you just asked and Swami agreed. And my mother said, no, I've been praying from your first standard. So it's 15 years now. So
You felt righteous ashram, Swami Guru. You never know what goes on behind the scenes.
And that was my first major chance, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
There is no interviews before that, no dialogues with Swami.
Mm-hmm. Even though you studied for so many years.
Yeah, 15 years by the
15
time.
Years, but you never really pined also for that kind of opportunities, or they didn't come their way?
It didn't come its way, and I also did not, but I didn't become lax or something like that both ways.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you were happy with whatever you were getting out of the system.
Yes, you could say that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But everything was getting stored up. I felt now, you know, when it was needed. Swami gave so much of his time for your open enum. He prepared you for that for so many years. But I think, to me, it just looks like, you know, your life is basically an essay of your mother's prayer. It's an essay of the power of your mother's prayer. It's an essay of the a result of a mother's sincere wish for her child.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. And in my second standard, you know, my father wanted my younger sister also to join, but my mother felt, you know, already one child is away, another child being away, it's not, may not be good. But my father quietly applied.
Mm-hmm.
And the application was rejected.
Rejected.
And then he told my mother about it, and then she said, see, if both don't go together, Swami will not this one.
If both of us are not on the same page,
Swami will not this one. Swami will not agree. But then she had different kind of thoughts, you know, if tomorrow my daughter asks me why I did not get the same education as my brother, then what will I answer her?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the time they decided to apply, and my sister also joined later.
Okay.
Visit.
Oh, wow.
So, so she went through the system as well.
So Swami will take only when both the parents are in it.
In it, yes. Yeah. And I think once parents change their mind and they want the child back, invariably I've seen Swami sending the child back.
Back. Wow.
Maybe a matter. It has been, I've observed it for many cases.
Wow.
Mm.
So it's so parents play, I mean, even though they are in Swami school and there are teachers, but parents play a vital
role. Yes.
I mean, even when you were disillusioned, you know, that is the time your parents
prayed a lot. Yes, yes. They prayed a lot. Oh, they, oh, that time they prayed a lot.
Wow. Fantastic.
Tune in to Sight. Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
The Lord was once asked, what relationship must ours be best described as? That of a master and disciple, replied the Lord. For there is no reason or season for the bond that exists. Guru is the dispeller of darkness, the light whose radiance we seek to enlighten the path. The Guru shines forth selflessly, so that we may walk the path boldly, so as to not stumble over the peaks and slip at the troughs. Then there comes a time when the disciple turns to the Guru and seeks the Guru himself. The seeking has to be earnest, the restlessness of yearning irrepressible. It is only then that the effulgence of His grace turns to reveal His own truth. The truth that the Guru without was a mere reflection of the Guru within. The truth that Guru is Hari and Hari alone is the Guru.
Hari.
Hari Om.
मन तरपत हरि दर्शन को आज मन तरपत हरि दर्शन को आज मोरे तुम बिन बिगरे सगरे काज को बिनती करत
लाज मन तरपत Krishna, Krishna, kaun sang jodo, jo tum todo piya, main nahi todo re, to se preet tode Krishna, kaun sang jodo. Krishna kaun sang jodo, jo tum todo piya, main nahi todo re, to se preet tode Krishna, kaun sang jodo, Krishna kaun sang jodo. तरोवर मैं भय पतिया तुम भय सरोवर मैं भय मछिया तुम भय गिरीवर मैं भय छारा तुम भय चंदा मैं भय चकोरा जो तुम तोड़ो पिया मैं नाही तोड़ो रे तो से प्रीत तोड़े कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो
मुरली मनोहर
हम भय धारा तुम भय सोना हम भय सुहारा भाई मीरा के प्रभु जी ब्रिज के बासी सुनो हे गोपाल सुनो हे गोपाल मैं तेरी दासी जो तुम तोड़ो पिया मैं नहीं तोड़ो रे तो से प्रीत तोड़े कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो
मुरली मनोहर मोहन गिरिधर 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 मुरली मनोहर मोहन गिरिधर
मुरली मनोहर मोहन गिरिधर मीरा के प्रभु ब्रिज के वासी गिरिधर हो गिरिधर हो गिरिधर हो मीरा के प्र...
करता पूरक निरपार निर्वैर अकाल मूर्त अजोनी से भंग गुरु प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच गुरु मेरी पूजा गुरु गोविंद गुरु मेरी पूजा गुरु गोविंद भगवंत गुरु मेरा पार ब्रह्म गुरु भगवंत गुरु मेरी पूजा गुरु गोविंद गुरु मेरा पार ब्रह्म गुरु भगवंत गुरु मेरी पूजा
सत्यनाम जी बोलो
नित्य नित्य जपिए तेरे नाम
जी बोलो कृष्ण 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 जी बोलो नित्य जपिए कृष्ण नाम जी बोलो नित्य जपिए कृष्ण नाम जी बोलो गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल 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 जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय
Yeah. Shuni, Jagadishuni, Jagadishuni.